All right, this morning, if you have your Bibles, let's return to the 8th chapter of the book of Matthew. And I think we had studied down through, a little past verse 14. But just to pick up the context, Jesus had, he had spoken his Sermon on the Mount. And the Sermon on the Mount was to basically to condemn the Jews, because there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. There's none righteous, not even one. And so the Sermon on the Mount was just showing what the law required. And the law required in Matthew 5:48, I think it is, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. So if you want to be justified by the life that you live, and I don't know anyone crazy enough to think they can do this, but all you have to do is be perfect. And since we can't control our dreams, we can't control our thoughts, things will come along and trigger our minds, and usually in a detrimental way. We have a sin nature. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And what the churches have done, sadly, people say, okay, I want to know what Jesus said. That's what fostered the red letter Bible. Yeah. So we put the words of Jesus in red. But all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Who is Jesus Christ? He's God. Who is the Father? He's God. Who is the Holy Spirit? He's God. A triune God. One person, or three different manifestations, but one person. And that's not really so strange, because before I was saved, I had a body and a soul. My soul is the conscious part of me. That's what we call personality. We can't really, it may be manifested outwardly, but a personality can't really be seen. Yeah. So then, is it strange that the God who created us, we were created how? In His image and in His likeness. So that means when Adam and Eve, when Adam was created, he was created in the image of God. So that means when God decided to make Eve, he took a rib from Adam's side. And that's very important theologically, because all people in the world, every single person has come from Adam. Eve came from his side, so Adam was Eve's federal head. What do we mean by a federal head? When Adam acted, he acted for the whole human race. So when Jesus came in the fullness of the time, then if one man can plunge the whole world into sin, then God, in the person of Jesus Christ, became a man through the virgin birth so that he could be related to man, but without the sin nature of man. And then live his life as a Jew under the law, and he's the only Jew who could, and whoever did, he fulfilled the law completely and perfectly. So the books are settled. So now God, because that Christ fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law, fulfilled all righteousness, and then he offered himself as a ransom for sin. That's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. If that were a statement of just a normal human being, that would be the most outrageous statement ever made by a man. Yeah. But Jesus is God, and he's God by means of the virgin birth. He had to be virgin born so that he could be man without a sin nature, because all of our sin nature comes from Adam. And we read about it in the 17th chapter of Acts, where it says that God made of one blood all of the families of the earth. Dr. DeHaan wrote a book a number of years ago called The Chemistry of the Blood, and he pointed out he was a medical doctor who became a preacher. And he would liken a lot of things in the medical field with things in the realm of theology. And, of course, he pointed out the fact that all of our blood comes from our Father. You know, the life of the flesh is in the blood. So since Adam is our father, you know, initially and then generations down, you know, I don't know why everybody does all of this genealogy stuff and try to find out who they came from. He came from Adam. And then Adam all died. You know, were there kings along the way? Sure. Did you have a little tassel or something somewhere? Yeah, that gives you something to brag about. Yeah. I can tell a story about my great-grandfather. Way back in the origin of this country, Clinton was the first governor of New Jersey, and he had all daughters. And he one of his daughters married an Andre. And part of the marriage contract was that the firstborn son would be given a diamond ring that was probably 2 or 3 carats. It was an heirloom. That went from father to firstborn, father to firstborn, all the way down the line to my great-grandfather. And my great-grandfather had been very wealthy. He traveled all over the world as a photographer. I can remember looking as a kid through albums of many, many pictures that he had taken in the islands and various places around the world. But he ran into a hot-blooded teenager, and for a little bit of sexual favor, he gave her the ring. So much for things that you can brag about, you know. A number of years, one of my nephews did a genealogy thing, and he said that we have a castle in such and such a place. What a big deal. We have an inheritance, I'll tell you about it. We're all born dead in trespasses and in sin because of our Adam, because Adam is our father. And those of us who believe on him have eternal life and an inheritance which is incorruptible and undefiled that fades not away, reserved in heaven because God became a man through the virgin birth. And isn't it interesting? When we think about major things in the scripture, Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. And then when Christ was born into the world, we call that Christmas. And it was Theophilus in 276 that gave the date of the 25th of December for the birth of Christ. There's no evidence whatsoever. In fact, all scriptural evidence suggests that Christ was born in the spring. What were the shepherds doing? They were watching their flocks by night. When did they watch their flocks by night? During lambing, which is in the spring. Otherwise, they put them in a sheepfold, and the shepherd sleeps at the door because it's much easier to keep them safe against wild animals in a sheepfold than it is when, you know, they have to take them out of the fold when the ewes are dropping their lambs. Otherwise, the other sheep would trample the lambs to death before they could get to their feet. So the shepherds were watching their flocks by night. And as I pointed out in my Christmas letter, this, you know, they don't get it right. We've got, in the Christmas scene, we've got the shepherds, we've got Mary and Joseph, and we've got the babe in a manger. And then we have the Magi there, you know, those creche figures, the figurines or whatever it is. You know, they weren't all there at the same time. And if you read the account in Matthew, you read that they saw the star while they were in the east, And then by the time they traveled to Jerusalem, and then the star reappeared and traveled to Bethlehem, they didn't go into the barnyard. They went into the house, and they didn't find a babe. They found a young child. And Scripture is very clear about that. Yeah. And so much that comes to us at this time of the year, the devil always attaches something false to things that are so very, very important. Christ was born in the spring of the year. The Passover lamb was born when? In the spring of the year. And a yearling. You go a whole year, you're back in the spring again for Passover, and you take a lamb of the first year and offer it for a sacrifice for sin. So you can see we have Easter bunnies. Why? Because Ostara, Ostra, there are a whole bunch of different names for the goddess of spring or the goddess of fertility. And it was a very popular feast amongst the pagans, particularly in the Anglo-Saxon world. When the Roman church went in and forced them into the rivers, into the lakes, and into the ocean, if they came out alive, they were Christians. Yeah. No faith at all. Just you go in, come out, you got wet, now you're dry, now you're a Christian. Yeah. And these things have a way of getting ingrained so that after a while nobody knows what the birth of Christ is all about. God had to become a man through the virgin birth. Why? Because, as we pick up in our text here, it says, we dealt with this last time, but I will read down to verse from 14 to 18, and then we'll pick up today's lesson. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's, Peter's wife, mother-in-law, laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. It's like she's got COVID or something. And he just touches her hand, and she's immediately well. Why? Because Jesus is God. He has the power over everything. And so she rose then, and what was, typical for women to do in that day was to get up and prepare for the guests and fix a meal or something of the sort and minister to those that were in the household. And so when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with, it says devils. There's only one devil, but there are many demons. And when did the demons come into existence? God does not create evil. See, when he created Lucifer, he was one of the archangels. When he created Adam and Eve, they were, he created Adam, and he was in God's image. And then when he took a rib from Adam's side and made the woman, because all of the animals had mates, but man didn't have a mate, so he provided him with a mate. And the serpent came along and said, and tempted her. And yeath, God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Hey, God's keeping something really good from you. If you eat of this tree, you're going to know the difference between right and wrong. Isn't that what the knowledge of good and evil is? Isn't that what morality is? But man's knowledge of good and evil didn't come from God. It came from the devil. And it's corrupted by its source. So as we see this, why do we have sickness in the world? Because of sin. Why do we have demons in the world? Well, the demons were that bunch. Let's go over to the little book of Jude, just before Revelation. And in the book of Jude, it tells us, let's pick up at verse 5. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And many of them died in the wilderness, and many of them died before. Well, everyone that was over 20 years of age died in the wilderness because of unbelief. And from the babes up to through their 19th year, they were in the wilderness for 40 years. So now they're the ones that went into the land, and they were just as full of unbelief as their parents were. You know. But they were given the opportunity to keep the law, and they said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. You know, they should have recognized right off all that the Lord has spoken. It's impossible for us to do. But man is, because of his corrupted sense of right and wrong. And if you think about it, every religious system in the world is based upon man's knowledge of good and evil. What is that? It's a corrupted sense of right and wrong. No absolutes. Varies from one system to another. I looked it up online a while back, and they said there are 4,000 moral systems in the world. And they're all wrong. You know, technically speaking, biblical Christianity is not a moral system. It tells us about the fact that Adam fell, and then God, in his love, mercy, and grace, in the fullness of time, sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might be redeemed. Because as an Adam, all die. So we have to have someone who can be sacrificed for our sins. Now, in Christ, there was no sin at all because he was virgin-born. And so he didn't have the sin nature of Adam through the blood. That's the importance of the virgin birth. And I mentioned that the book a little bit ago, Dr. DeHaan, he wrote about that. And there's not one drop of your mother's blood in your body. And if the two blood streams, you think about birth, it's pretty miraculous. But you have the baby in a sack, you know, and the placenta, and the mother eats, and the blood, the nourishment in the blood passes by osmosis through the placenta into the baby's bloodstream, and then the baby's nurtured, and then the waste in reverse goes through by osmosis through the placenta into the mother's bloodstream, processed by her organs, and dumped as waste. Yeah. And so pretty amazing. And you have life the moment that you bring the egg and the sperm together. When it germinates, you have life. All of us talk about, when does life begin? They know when it begins. How many of you have seen a sonogram of twins playing in the womb? You know, laughing in the womb. You know, they're living souls. So back in these days, Jude wrote, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels, which kept not their first estate. Now, the flood came along at a point in time, you know, prior to the law. But there was a flood upon the earth. And what happened in the days of the flood? The sons of God saw that the daughters of men were fair, and they took wives of them. Who are the sons of God? Go over to the book of Job, and we see there came a time when the sons of God came together. That's a reference to the angels. And there were certain class of angels that could appear as men on the earth, and they cohabited with the women that were on the earth, and they produced hybrids. Typically speaking, a hybrid is sterile. Yeah. If you want to a mule, you have to breed an ass and a horse. You know, you can't get mules by breeding mules. You know, because they're sterile. Okay, so the mule is produced as interbreeding one species with another species, and therefore it's sterile. So the angels which kept not their first estate. Now these angels came down and produced people that, they were spoken of as giants and all of this type of thing. But they were very highly esteemed. And each woman, I'm sure, because of the promise of God, of the virgin birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, each one of those angels that came down and sweet-talked to each one of those women and produced, an individual, when they were killed in the flood, the soul was separated from the body. And what was it? The soul of those hybrids were the demons. You don't read anywhere in the scripture, because God doesn't create evil. But the demons are evil. So, and the angels which kept not their first estate. Now, we're using this for an example. But left their own habitation, that is, they left heaven, came to the earth. He hath reserved an everlasting chain under darkness, under the judgment of the great day, preventing them from coming back and repeating the same sin. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, why would you compare angels cohabiting with the daughters of men was even as Sodom and Gomorrah? Because, this is an unlikely union. So when you have women with women, and it's really ridiculous today. We have boys running, that say, I'm morphing into a girl. And therefore, I can play in girls' sports, and I can run faster, lift more weight, do this and do that. And they're for all the talk about women's rights, this whole business about LGBTQ or whatever it is, I don't know, or Q or whatever it is, I don't know. Yeah. Everybody knows it's perversion. You can do anything you want, but don't tell me that it's right. That's like saying, I need a little extra cash, so I'm going to take my 357 Magnum and go to the bank. Yeah, you can do it, and you might get away with it for a little bit. Then you might get killed, too. All right. So, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication. So we're comparing the fornication of Sodom and Gomorrah with the fornication between the angels and the women on the earth. Okay. And going after strange flesh are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, also, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. So we have people in every age. We have, the virgin birth of Christ, very important. But we've connected it with myth, Santa Claus. And the devil likes to do that. And then we even change the time of the year. We know Christ was born in the spring. Because what were the shepherds doing? Watching their flocks by night. When did they do that? Ordinarily, they put the flock in a fold because it's much easier to keep them safe in a fold at night. But during lambing season, if they did it, if they dropped their lambs in a fold, the lambs would be trampled. See? So we have all the evidence that we need. And then when the Magi come, they didn't come to Bethlehem to a cow shed. They came into the house, And then what did Herod do? He killed all the children, male children. It says children in our King James Bible, but if we read it in Greek, it's in the masculine gender. So he killed all of the males from 2 years old and upward or under, So he wanted to get them all. So Christ was probably a year, maybe as much as a year and a half old, because when the Magi arrived and they were warned of God not to return to Herod, they went back another way. And then Joseph and Mary and the babe went into Egypt, because the scripture says, out of Egypt have I called my son. You don't travel with a newborn baby, particularly in those days. Yeah. So they killed the male children up to 2 years of age. I'm sure he made a margin so that he'd be sure and get the Christ, because Herod was a usurper. He'd been made king of the Jews by the Roman government. You know, he was an Idumean. He was of the lineage of Esau. And God, of course, you know, it's the second born that he gets the blessing. All right. So likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominions, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, because, you know, he doesn't have authority over him, but said what? The Lord rebuke thee. Yeah. So when we're in a situation where someone has higher authority, if they're not speaking according to the truth of the Word of God, I have no power to rebuke him, but the Lord rebuke them. Okay? Yeah. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts or animals without reason. In those things they corrupt themselves. And that's why we have all of the moral systems in this world. None of them are exact. One moral system will make homosexuality moral, another one make it immoral, you know, whatever it is. But we have all these different systems based upon man's knowledge of what? Good and evil, right and wrong. Now, see, how can you find anything wrong with a moral system? Well, some moral systems are anything but moral. Okay? Now, let's go back to Matthew. So, he raised up Peter's mother-in-law. And when the even was come, they brought unto him, verse 16, many that were possessed with demons. See, that's why we went back and saw the origin of demons. Demons are evil, and demons were produced by fallen angels cohabiting with the daughters of men. Okay, so when Satan fell, what? One-third of the angels fell with him. That's where we get those that were able to cohabit with the daughters of men. And remember, the scripture says for us to entertain strangers, because many have entertained angels, how? Unaware. Well, if you saw some guy coming in with wings and, you know, and a halo, all of that's nonsense. There's no biblical basis for halos. You know, it's just the imagination of, of religious people. You know, it just has no basis in fact. You know, did the Lord, his face shone? Yeah. You know, and things of that sort. Okay. So he says, let's pick up in verse 16 again. And when the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with demons, and he cast out the spirits, or the evil spirits, with his word, and he healed all that were sick. Now what was Jesus doing by this? He was showing he is God. The Jews, had a tradition. They had a law that God had given them. No Jew ever kept the law. No Jew but Jesus Christ ever kept the law, and Jesus Christ is God. But no just plain old human being has the capacity. to keep the law, because there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. That doesn't find any fault with the law. The law is good and right and holy. And there are certain blessings that were promised to the nation of Israel for fulfilling it. And all of those blessings belong to Jesus, and everything that belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ, we're heirs and what? Co-heirs with Jesus Christ. So it's as if we kept the law. All of the blessings of the law are ours, but not because we kept it, but because he kept it for us. Now, when Jesus saw the great multitude about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Now, I've seen people, you know, the churches and schools that I went to while I was in Bible college. I've seen just about everything there is to be seen. And we have young people, good intentions, saying, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. Yeah. But let's see what the capacity is here. And Jesus said unto him, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. You sure you want to go wherever I go? Do whatever I do? Yeah. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Now, there's no evidence whatsoever that this individual's father is at the point of death. He just says, I'll go after my father dies. And that is what Jesus says. And this would shock many people, but it's the truth. Okay, but Jesus said unto him, follow me. And a more literal translation, it says, let the dead bury the dead. It says, leave the dead to bury their own dead. And I, over the years, I've had a lot of funerals. I've had some in the funeral homes, had some of them where the funeral home would bring the casket here to the church and so forth. And one thing about funeral directors, they are what you would call men for all seasons. They're chameleons. They can blend in with anybody. Yeah. And you would think the way that they nod and add, and act and so forth, you would think they're real believers. But they'll do it for Jews. They'll do it for whatever they are. You know, they just agree with everybody. You know, because it's good business. And boy, is it good business. Goodness gracious. What people spend for funerals today is unbelievable. You know? Well, they get insurance and say, well, and the funeral home says, well, I'm going to get most of that insurance just for putting the guy in the ground. Yeah. And so they get laws written so that you can't bury anybody on your property, you know. I've forgotten the name of the movie, but there was one. This guy's a bootlegger. He used to be, his family was plantation owner. And they went broke and so forth. And it's during the Depression era. Shadrach, yeah. Shadrach's an old slave who returns to his home. Yeah. And he's 100 years old. And he came home to get buried because he knows he's going to die. Yeah. And the bootlegger, he figures I'll bury the old fellow. That's what he wants. The sheriff said, you can't bury him. You have to bury him in a place that has, you find a Negro funeral home and a Negro burial ground, in that age and so forth, and then you can bury him there. And What difference does it make? We've got people been buried here for over 200 years. Why can't we put one more there? He came back here. He wants to be buried here. So I won't give away what they did. You might want to see the movie. But it's pretty good. Yeah. But it just shows you. Yeah. We have lobbyists. Yeah. And the lobbyists, promise politicians, well, we'll do this for you and we'll do that for you if you vote for this and vote this way or vote that way. Yeah. And you wonder why we keep getting such corrupt politicians. That's the reason. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. I personally believe in term limits. But you'll never get it because they've got to vote it in. And if they don't vote it in, they can stay there for, like Joe Biden. He's been there 50 years. Now he's the president of the United States. He doesn't know where he is because, and I wouldn't say anything about that if it was just an old person with dementia. But he ran for the presidency with dementia, and they elected him. Not legally, but illegally, And then the Republicans, they all caved in because they didn't want to make them mad because then I wouldn't be able to get as much money as I want.
Right.
Yeah. Money corrupts. And there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Now, let's continue here. And so Jesus said unto him, the foxes have holes. So that was the first fella. The second one, let me bury my father. There's no indication that his father's ready to die. But when my father dies, then I'll follow you. And then so Jesus says, let the dead bury the dead. And as I think about it, the unsaved of this world do a much better job with funerals than those of us who are believers. And they must do a better job because I can preach a funeral, talk about the individual if I know that they're saved and they have an inheritance and so forth, and preach the gospel, because what better time to preach the gospel? You've got people that wouldn't ordinarily come under the sound of the gospel, and they're thinking about death to a little bit, but not their own, because everybody's going to live forever in their own mind, But the dead do such a wonderful job. I mean, they can, they can make it wonderful. Cost you an arm and a leg, but they can make it wonderful. And so I think there's a little sarcasm here. A sarcasm based upon truth. Let those that are lost bury those that are lost, because they do a much better job than anybody else. Okay? And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. In other words, this boat's about to sink. It's taking on water. And it's about to go down. And Jesus is laying on a pillow in the back. And they go and wake him up. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us! We perish! Now think about this. They really don't know who they're dealing with at this point in time. This is God the Son of God, very God of God. You suppose this ship's going to go down? He's got a job to do. And it's not, he can't do it by drowning. Besides that, he can walk on the water. So he couldn't drown in the first place. Okay. And so they awoke him, but he and the disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, verse 25, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, why are you fearful? Oh, ye have little faith? And then, don't you know who I am? know, he's already performed all kinds of miracles in their midst. They had heard him preach the Sermon on the Mount. Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And then what did they do? But the men marveled, saying, "What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" You know, we haven't been privileged to live during the life of our Lord upon this earth. But faith comes by hearing. It doesn't come by seeing miracles. And he performed all kinds of things and before the Jews. And the Jews said, "We will not have this man to reign over him. What shall we do with him? Crucify him. Crucify him." Why? Because they had a position in the Roman government where they were fat and sassy and had what they wanted, and he was going to screw it up in their mind, you know? So why do people vote the way they vote? No difference here than there, you know? They will vote for someone just because, well, he promised me this and he promised me that, you know? Is it good for the country that he promised you this and promised you that? You know, think about the minimum wage law. Now, you go to a hamburger joint now, you have to wait for a long time because they've only got one person in there working, and they don't want to pay. You know, they could, for what they normally pay, they could have, you know, three or four people, but they've got one. You know why? Because you got to pay them $15 an hour for an entry-level job. And so kids out of school now can't get a job. They don't have any skills. And nobody wants to hire somebody with no skills and have to pay them $15 an hour. You know? It makes no sense. You know? And entry-level jobs, you know, when I was in high school, I worked 40 hours a week my junior and senior year, and I started out as a box boy, and then I became a checker and took care of my section, and I think I made $3.25 an hour working the swing shift. Yeah, or no, was that maybe it was $2.75? I don't remember. Yeah, but back in 1950. I went in the Air Force in 51. So in the late 40s and 50s, if you were making $2.50, $3 an hour, you had pretty good money. You know, I can remember this place down from where we lived, and where this all closed. We used to go down there and get a hamburger. Now, first of all, they never put the bun on the grill. They had, remember those old stand-up toasters? You open them up, put them in, and tilt it in. They would toast the bun there. And then they cooked the hamburger. Or, you know, and I can remember the first cheeseburger. We were in Malibu, and Dad said, "There's a restaurant down here on the coast that has hamburgers with cheese on them." That happened in my lifetime. First cheeseburger. Long time ago now, you know. But then, you know, whatever you wanted on it, onion, tomato, lettuce, all of this. And very, very nice. And not all soaked up with that, you know. And then additionally, they'd go to the pickle barrel and pull out a pickle that was about as, you know, 4 or 5 inches long and an inch in diameter. Really good dill pickle. So you got a dill pickle and what would be a $7 hamburger today for 15 cents. Of course, there weren't very many people that had 15 cents. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you for your wonderful love to us and for your goodness and grace. And we see the ministry of our Lord. It must have been something for the disciples to realize that they had God in their midst, and they didn't realize it at first, but they eventually did. And we need to know who Jesus is. He's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, one God. And we praise you that he came, fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law in our behalf, and then gave himself as a ransom for sin, and then gave us the faith to believe it, so that we might have eternal life and live with him forever. We praise you and thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.